Gospel of Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter number 2. And a thought I'm sure with which we're all familiar, but to be reminded this Christmas once again. Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as his spouse, wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth their firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time now. I pray, God, that you will encourage us as believers to truly be aware of Jesus, the reason for the season. We love you. We thank you for being God in these next brief moments. Would you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Most, if not all of us, are familiar with the Christmas story. Significant of the greatest man that ever walked the earth being born. I don't know about you. I'm glad I don't just know about him, but that I know him. Amen. I know him as my Savior. I know him as my King. But as we go back to the very first Christmas, it always baffles my mind that Mary and Joseph, Mary very near to delivering her firstborn son, looking for somewhere to find shelter, somewhere to find a warm room, somewhere to find a place where she could deliver her child. And yet, that very serious, thought-provoking statement in Scripture. There was no room for them in the inn. Not just no room for a pregnant mother. Not just no room for a loving stepfather. But no room for Jesus. They had no room. Shouldn't it have been that they were willing to put somebody else out or move somebody else in another room to let Jesus in? And most of all, the owner of the inn should have given up his room. After all, this was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at a passage of Scripture and think, how could somebody turn a pregnant mother away? How could somebody turn a cold family away? How could somebody refuse to open their place and make room for somebody on this first Christmas? But yet, I wonder with all that we're engaged in, with all that we're involved in, we live in one of the busiest areas in the United States of America. We're always running. We're always hustling. We're always bustling. We're always going somewhere at record speed. But I wonder this Christmas if we made room for shopping, made room for eating, made room for decorating, made room for family members, made room for time off, made room for vacation, made room for other things that we never had room for before, and yet have no room for Jesus. This Christmas, if you've got to shut somebody out, don't you dare shut him out. You need him in your life. You need him in what's going on in this world. And by the way, America needs him. Amen. We've shut him out of our schools. We've shut him out of our thinking. We've shut him out of our philosophy. Some people have shut him out of our churches. But I would to God there were some men, women, and boys and girls that say the institutions and the courthouses and the status quo and the political correctness may shut Jesus out, but not here at Crossroads Baptist Church, not with the men and women, boys and girls that are gathered in this room. Somebody this Christmas ought to make room for Jesus. First of all, make room for Jesus in your home. Husbands and wives, Jesus ought to be in your marriage. Children, Jesus ought to be in your thinking. I tell you, there are a lot of homes that got a lot of electronics, a lot of furniture, a lot of food, a lot of fun, big screen televisions, but where's Jesus? Amen. I'm not just talking about your phones and your computers and your electronic devices. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you gather around that table, Jesus ought to be there with you. Amen. In those discussions, in the bedrooms, Jesus ought to be there with you. When the family gets together and thinks about all the blessings that God has bestowed on them, they ought to remember where the blessings come from. Hey, listen, what America needs is some homes that have room for Jesus. Secondly, make room for Jesus in your habits. It's amazing how many Christian people have engaged in non-Christian habits. I said if he's Jesus, and he is. If he's the Christ of Christmas, and he is. If he's the reason for, I wish somebody say amen now. If he's the reason for the season, and he is, don't you think you ought to be in your habits? I mean, make room for Jesus in your talking. Make room for Jesus in your walking. Make room for Jesus in your witnessing. Make room for Jesus in your giving. Make room for Jesus in your fellowship. Make room for Jesus in your friendships. Make room for Jesus in your fun. Make room for Jesus around your family. Make room for Jesus in how you handle your finances. Make room for Jesus in where you go. Make room for Jesus in what you touch. Make room for Jesus and what you listen to. Make room for Jesus and what you got, what you hang around. Make room for Jesus in what you read. Make room for Jesus in where you spend your time. There ought not be a habit that's outside of Jesus, and there ought not be a habit that Jesus is outside of. Somebody ought to make room for Jesus in your home, in your habit, and in your heart. For what the world needs is Jesus. They'll get a gift and before long the gift will break. They'll get a gift and before long it will be spent. They'll get a gift and before long it will wear out. They'll get a gift and before long a better gift will come out. But when they get Jesus, aren't you glad he's the gift that keeps on giving? Boy, listen to me. Every born again believer ought to pause right now and thank God that he lives in your heart. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Aren't you glad that when he comes to live in our heart? Amen. I tell you, that's where I want Jesus to be. I want Jesus to be in my heart. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, any day of the week is a good day to get saved. Any day of the year on the year on the calendar is a good day to get saved. But I tell you, it would be something special if this Christmas, instead of getting everything else in your heart, you get Jesus in your heart. Wouldn't it be special if you just bowed your head and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and save you, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, it really wouldn't matter the gifts under the tree. It really wouldn't matter the gifts around the tree. The biggest gift would be the one that hung on that tree some 2,000 years ago. If you don't know him, I want you to know he wants to know you. He came in that manger. He walked, my friend, up Golgotha's hill where he hung and bled and suffered for the sins of mankind. Why? He came to live in your heart. And yet it could be right here in a good, sound, Bible-preaching, independent Baptist church. Right on the pews of this church, somebody could be without Jesus in your heart. What a sad way to spend Christmas. Could I tell you there was nobody checked in that inn that would have blessed that inn more than if that inn had let Jesus in. Amen. And yet they missed out. What a joy it would have been for that innkeeper for years to come to have plastered up on that wall every time somebody stayed here. Jesus was here. He was born here. Hey, listen to me. I go to companies all the time and they got all kinds of signs of celebrities who were there. And they've signed their autograph and they put their pictures up there. And let me tell you something, when you walk in there, the first thing catches your eye. when who's who has been there. Could you imagine that innkeeper being able to let everybody know the Messiah was born here? The Son of God was born here. He stayed in my room. He lodged in my inn. I was the one that opened up my place for where the Lord could be. But can I tell you, every single day we go to our jobs, our schools, our family members, and our societies, and we're not buildings that have been erected by people. We're human beings that have been made by a creator. Listen to me. There's no message that you can share with your family and friends and even your foes. Then guess what? Jesus is in here. Jesus is in here. He lives inside of me. My life's not about what I've got on the outside. My life is about who I've got on the inside. This Christmas, I hope we're not too occupied, too busy, too full, that we have no room left for the main event. I want to tell you, he was born one time in a manger, but he lives every single day. And he wants some room. Room in your home, room in your habits, and room in your heart. For heaven's sake, if you're in the building tonight, and if you're listening in online, this Christmas, make room for Jesus. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you'll help us and bless us. Thank you for being an awesome and a wonderful God. I pray, God, that you will help us this Christmas to make room for Jesus, and that we'd never get so busy that we didn't have room for him. Thank God that in his family, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to this day, he's still making room for any sinner that will believe. So Lord, help those of us who are saved to make room for him. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.